Welcome to a special podcast edition of BeatTheChip.org. I have on the line Scott Nickel with No Border Wall from Texas. So Scott has been working with No Border Wall Coalition, a coalition whose aim is to basically combat portions of the Real ID Act that are mandating the fence and the extension of the border wall fence to the exclusion of 36 federal laws. They're laws that were in place before the Real ID Act, but for whatever reason, the DHS feels that they are so inclined to overlook these laws and go ahead and build their fence. Apparently, there's a new bill that's going to create this as law, sponsored by Representative Bishop out of Utah. So, Scott, tell me what's going on.
Well, basically, in the Real ID Act, the Homeland Security Secretary was given the power to waive any and all laws that he or she sees fit in order to build roads and walls along the southern border. In 2008, Secretary Chertoff used that power to waive 36 laws. There were environmental laws like the Clean Water Act and Endangered Species Act. There were laws like the American Indian Religious Freedom Act and the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. So all those laws were wiped off the books in order to build border walls that would have otherwise violated them. What's going on now is that just this week, Utah Representative Rob Bishop has introduced a bill that would take that waiver authority and put it into law. So it wouldn't just be the Homeland Security Secretary gets to decide to waive these laws. The laws that were waived for specific portions of the southern border where there are now border walls would be codified into law, basically. Those waivers would be extended. They would become indefinite. They would not just be for border walls, and they would not just be for the same sections of the southern border. Bishop's bill would extend that across the entire southern border from San Diego to South Padre Island in Texas, across the entire northern border from Maine to Washington, and across all of our maritime borders, and it would then from those points extend inland 100 miles. So anybody living within 100 miles of an ocean or a land border would now be subject to these waivers, which would mean that if Customs and Border Protection decides that some measure would help them to achieve operational control, and operational control gets defined as not a single person getting into the United States. Anything that they want to do, those laws don't apply. There's nothing you can do about it. So you live in New York City, you live in Seattle, you live anywhere in Hawaii, you live in anywhere in Florida. It's not just, you know, along the U.S.-Canadian border or the U.S.-Mexico border. Live 100 miles from any of these land or maritime borders, these laws don't apply to you. You know, Safe Drinking Water Act doesn't matter anymore for as far as Border Patrol is concerned. Anything that has been named in that earlier waiver does not protect you anymore.
Wow. So what agency is really getting oversight here?
In some ways, it's going to the Department of Homeland Security. They're not asking for this. Honestly, there was a congressional hearing this morning, and they were not asking for this. Customs and Border Protection was not asking for this. This is Bishop's own deal. He's the one that came up with this grand scheme. It's basically just an expression of this tremendous overreach on the part of some of the more extreme members of Congress, you know, essentially saying, the laws we don't like, we will wipe away. You know, especially environmental laws, but certainly not restricted to environmental laws.
I don't know. There seems to be a lot of that going around in Washington right now. It seems to be almost like a flu.
It's easy. I mean, it's so much easier to do that than to actually comply. But it's astonishing to have politicians who campaign on this mantra of law and order just wiping laws off the books. You know,
and now, would it be wiping them off the books, or would it be waiving them? Because a waiver is just like, we're not going to observe those, and removing them from law, period, is different.
Well, it's basically saying, we're not going to observe them. You guys can still observe them, you know, other people. But when you exempt a law for any party, the law is not a law anymore. It's an option. And that's where you run into a fundamental problem. If you can wipe all these laws away for Border Patrol activities, you could do it for anything else. You know, you just talk to your local congressperson and get them to write you an exemption. If the waiver provision, you know, it had no hope of getting passed on its own merits, so they had to slide it into the Real ID Act, which it didn't really relate to, and then they had to slide the Real ID Act into these other must-pass bills that it didn't relate to.
I don't know, I have to make an expression here. I'm kind of shocked. You know, it comes at a time when Florida really struggling with their civil liberties all of the time, and they've kind of become like the example guinea pig state of what it's like to live in America with no civil liberties.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any thoughts on why Obama has become, in his maybe second into third year, worse or as bad as George Bush on these things?
My guess would be that, you know, he's seeing all of his decisions as being pragmatic, you know, along the lines of President Clinton. But I think, you know, he's got to take a stand on certain issues. And I think that, you know, when you talk about wiping the enforcement of laws completely away for a huge chunk of the United States, when you talk about protecting people's civil liberties, you know, he just needs to take a stand. And, you know, political pragmatism may have its place, but there are some things where you just have to take a principled stand.
So tell me about what's going on with No Border Wall Fence. What is your policy? How are you guys responding to this as a coalition?
Well, the bill just came out yesterday, so so far our response has been pretty limited. But, no, I think, you know, we've been very strongly opposed to the waiver provisions from the beginning. You know, we felt that the Supreme Court should have taken up the pair of constitutional challenges that were raised to the waivers, under the existing waivers for the Real ID Act. And, you know, we feel just as strongly that if the Bishop bill does pass, and I think in the current makeup of the U.S. House of Representatives, it has a pretty good chance, if you don't have anybody standing up for the rule of law and opposing this, if it does pass, it will be unconstitutional. There's just sort of no way around that fact, because you don't have equal justice, for one thing. You know, that means that I, who live 10 miles from the border, I can have Customs and Border Protection doing terrible things to my drinking water because they've been given the power to waive the Safe Drinking Water Act, whereas somebody in Kansas who is not within that 100-mile zone doesn't have that. You know, he doesn't have that risk. The law applies to them, but not to me. You know, there are a number of fundamental constitutional questions that are raised by this, and I think the Supreme Court should have taken this up. I think that, you know, the Real ID Act waivers are unconstitutional, and I think that, you know, and our coalition has been very outspoken in trying to get that message across.
So what is it like with Customs and Border Patrol now? This isn't a bill put together by them or even the DHS. Why do you think people like Representative Bishop is pushing the border into the lap of DHS?
I feel like it's probably just political grandstanding on his part. I don't think that, you know, honestly, he doesn't know anything about the border. He talks on and on about how, ooh, I visited once a year ago. That's not expertise at all.
Well, is there any other policy or possibly political reason why he would be pushing this specifically onto DHS?
I believe that Representative Bishop is basically just grandstanding. You know, I think that he's coming from a very virulent anti-environmental stance and a very virulent anti-immigrant stance. And in putting those two together, the reality of the border is irrelevant. You know, he's coming from basically pure ideology. Into hearing that he chaired in the House of Representatives, he repeatedly showed images of, you know, bodies.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. I'm just going to have to stop you there. And here's the reason why. Why is it when a conservative gets up and flashes photos of the border area or mentions the word 9/11 or Homeland Security, that suddenly is pragmatic? Whereas if we have laws and the Constitution and the rule of law, that's idealistic?
Well, I think that's the fundamental problem. He's, you know, the pictures that he's trying to show of these bodies weren't actually taken in the United States. He's showing bodies of people who were killed in Mexico and using that to argue that we have to waive laws 100 miles into the United States. It's not even saying, here's a problem that we have here at home. He's ignoring the fact that El Paso and San Diego are two of the top 10 safest cities in the United States. He's basically fear-mongering. It's not even that it's pragmatic, it's that it's just false. It's just blatant falsehood and blatant misrepresentation of the reality that I live on the border every day. I mean, I live in a pretty quiet town, and I'm 10 miles from the border. You know, he lives in the middle of Utah, so who knows? Maybe he actually believes the stuff that he's saying, but whatever the case may be, the image that he's presenting and that he's using as a basis for his legislation is just false.
I'd have to get up to speed on what Janet Napolitano's enforcement policy is as a secretary. But this is all really, again, pushing it in the lap of the Department of Homeland Security secretary. Instead of, you know, I mean, they've got a lot to do. I'm just thinking, you know, outside of the TSA and funneling 8-year-olds and, you know, how much worse can it get? You know, how much more of a burden can it get on this agency, because everything is becoming Homeland Security. Everything.
Right. And I think that that's a fundamental problem, that essentially if you're not making policies that Homeland Security has to follow based on their requests and their recommendations, then yeah, you're burdening them. You know, they're being told you have to do this and this and this and this and this, and you know, you have to deal with the repercussions of all of these congressional actions, and they're congressional actions that they didn't ask for in the first place. So they, you know, did not see them as something that would be beneficial to them, you know, accomplishing the tasks that they're supposed to be accomplishing. Yeah, I mean, I think with the Bishop bill specifically, as it was just introduced yesterday, the president and a number of other politicians have bought into this mantra that you have to have absolute border security to clear the way for immigration reform. And as the Secure Fence Act and the Real ID Act showed, it doesn't matter how heavy-handed you get in the border security aspect of it, it will never be enough to get conservative members of Congress to go along with, you know, even something as mild as the DREAM Act, much less full comprehensive immigration reform.
And so we're getting back into immigration again. We're getting back into why can't we ever get the hell away from immigration?
Well, I think the problem is that's the context that Congress has created. Instead of them discussing the Real ID Act as an issue of civil liberties or equal protection, which is where it more naturally belongs, they justify it as an immigration measure.
And a Homeland Security measure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole terrorist aspect of Homeland Security, you know, is basically just because real immigrants aren't scary enough.
Well, I think I did read something about a bill which would create a class of terrorists for drug lords over the border. I'm thinking, if you cannot fight crime already without a terrorist classification,
sure.
Are they trying to figure out how to do it with more permission? I don't think they need it. If someone comes over the border who is an evildoer, as Bush would say, I'm thinking they're fully empowered by the current laws to do. It's redundant.
Sure it is.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And it's a waste of taxpayer dollars and resources for them to duplicate and puff up the laws to a place where it's just, right. I don't know, it's a comedy.
More people enter the country and more drugs enter the country through legal ports of entries than between ports of entries. And, you know, all of the 9/11 terrorists came in and out of the country on planes. They never once crossed a land border. So all of this idea that the Real ID Act or the Secure Fence Act or any of this is going to have any impact on terrorism, it's not even that they're fighting the past battles. They haven't addressed the past battles. You know, they're not, if they were really serious about keeping terrorists out, the focus would be on airports.
My next question for you is more towards the actual verbiage of the bill. So we're going to read some of this. Says, the Secretary of Homeland Security shall have immediate access to any public land managed by the federal government, including land managed by the Secretary of the Interior or the Secretary of Agriculture for purposes of conducting activities that assist in securing the border, including access to maintain and construct roads, construct a fence, use vehicles to patrol, and to set up monitoring equipment. Clarification relating to waiver authority. Notwithstanding any other provision of the law, including any termination date or relating to the waiver referred in this subsection, the waiver by the Secretary of Homeland Security on April 108 under Section 102C of the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of the laws described in paragraph 2 with respect to certain sections of the international border between the U.S. and Mexico and between the U.S. and Canada shall be considered to apply to all sections of international land and maritime borders of the United States within 100 miles of the international land and maritime borders of the United States for activities of the Homeland Security described in subsection B, including the construction of infrastructure to achieve the operational control described in subsection A. Operational control and fence building and building of things and infrastructure and what that's going to be under the purview of is Homeland Security. So if they come in, this is a loose fetch, but they might commandeer people who are otherwise doing their dailies and say, you need to come over here and work on this fence? Could they do that?
That would be a tough one. I think that would be, you know, anything where you commandeer people would probably be a constitutional issue right off the bat. And the Supreme Court might actually stand up on that one, you know, beyond just standing up on this. They commandeer land, though. They've already condemned, just in the state of Texas, more than the land of more than 400 individuals and organizations and businesses and municipalities. So they don't have any problem commandeering land.
So this is private land as well?
Private land, and, you know, like people's orchards or parts of orchards. Got ranches and farms and Nature Conservancy and Audubon property. You've got property owned by municipalities and cities, federal wildlife refuges. You know, I guess they didn't actually get condemned because they were already in the federal ownership. But.
Okay, the rest of this bill, believe it or not, is just the laws that they are seeking to waive. I am not kidding. There are an additional 3 pages, or actually 2.5 pages, of laws that they're waiving, like the California Desert Protection Act, the National Park Service Organic Act, the Arizona Desert Wilderness Act.
And really big ones like, you know, the National Environmental Policy Act and the Endangered Species Act and the you know, Clean Water Act and Clean Air Act and, you know some of the, well, pretty much all.
The Solid Waste Disposal Act?
Those were waived for the border wall. So everywhere the border wall has been built, it was built without any consideration of the things that those laws were meant to protect. So endangered species get harmed by the wall, too bad. You know, your drinking water is harmed because you've got sedimentation or a fuel spill or anything like that going into the river that you drink from. You know, because I drink from the Rio Grande, basically. It, you know, just runs to the pumping station. You know, if that happens, too bad. You know, it's no longer protected as far as the Border Patrol is concerned.
And again, you know, according to your report here, it's not the Border Patrol. This isn't their big idea. Do you know of who else might be driving this other than, say, Bishop himself?
This is Bishop's pet bill. There are some other congressmen like Lamar Smith who think this is a great idea, but this one is really Bishop's. And it's just the extremity of it. It is just mind-boggling.
Regardless of whether it's extreme or not extreme, who else is driving it? Do you know?
I don't really know of anybody else that's particularly interested in it. The opening portion where it talks about access to federal lands, they've already got it. They have a memorandum of understanding that was written 6 or 7 years ago between Department of Homeland Security and Department of the Interior that gave Homeland Security and Customs and Border Patrol access to all of this land on the border. There were requests that they try to not be too damaging, you know, so they, in some places, you know, ride a horse instead of a Hummer, but they've got that access. And that was the thing in the congressional hearing this morning. At the hearing itself, nobody else was given a chance to speak. The witness list was drawn up by the committee chairman, who is named Representative Rob Bishop, who wrote the bill. When he got witnesses that said things he didn't like, including witnesses from Customs and Border Protection, he berated them, he shouted at them, he was extremely disparaging to any presentation of fact that did not fit his misinterpretation of reality.
Wow.
And there was a government accountability office that he requested last fall that was on this whole idea of access to federally owned lands, and it came to the conclusion that there's not a problem, and that there isn't any lack of operational control that can be traced back to Department of Interior denying access. He didn't like that, you know, and so when he called the Government Accountability Office to speak about their report, and they told him that again, he shouted down the witness because he didn't want to hear it.
Are these people's names online?
I do not know if anything from that hearing has been posted. I mean, it just happened this morning, and it ran until 1:30 or 2. Mm-hmm. So I do not know if they've put anything up yet or not.
So Representative Bishop had no problem berating another government associate who would be calling him to account over the legality or the constitutionality of this bill, if what you're saying is true. Am I getting this right?
The only witness that any deference at all was shown to was another member of the House, Representative Sylvester Reyes, who represents El Paso, Texas, which is a border city, and who was a former Border Patrol chief. So they were at least less rude to him, but Bishop was not willing to accept what Representative Reyes was telling him.
It would be good to find out from other government sources, you know, what their outlook is or the prospects for this bill. But it's always way too early to speculate on something like this. I've seen terrible bills that nobody thought would move out of committee, suddenly jump up, get steam, and they're in and out of committee and on their way to the next cameral house.
Uh-huh.
From the House to the Senate, to the Senate to the House, and then on to the executive desk. So one cannot be too careful.
This bill could do the same thing that Real ID did and go as a rider on a must-pass bill. You know, if this bill were attached to Department of Homeland Security's next appropriation, you know, who wants to vote against Homeland Security's appropriation? Or, you know, does President Obama really want to veto that? It could very easily, you know, make it through the House. It could quite possibly make it through the Senate. But, you know, the chances are not quite as good because they're not quite as amenable to insanity, but it has been known to happen, as the Real ID shows. It could become law, you know, and that's a really frightening thought.
You know, we'll see. Scott Nickel, no border wall fence advocate and coalition leader here on beatthechip.org. Please check in for updates. Subscribe online via podomatic.com and our RSS feed on the right-hand side of the bar.
I'm just praying that sanity prevails on this and that the House of Representatives sees this bill for the extreme assault on the rule of law that it is.
Extreme! And not the Mountain Dew super sport type of extreme, the ridiculous, half-cocked, I should be retired by now type of extreme. What's your website?
It's www.no-border-wall.com.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot.